Hey, welcome to an interview this week. Each week, we here at WPRB News and Culture will be interviewing a featured writer in the Nassau Weekly, Princeton University's publication of essays, journalism, and poetry. I'm Oliver Wang. It's Friday, March 29th. Let's get to it. Today on the show, we have Tess Solomon. Tess is a sophomore here at Princeton and the managing editor of the Nassau Weekly. She's been featured multiple times in the publication. Titles of her essays include To Proclaim a Dying World, which is a review of the exhibit Nature's Nation at Princeton University's Art Museum, The Six, The 305, and What We Want from Charity, which talks about Drake's hubristic God's Plan charity giving, and Labor Day, which is about, well, Labor Day. Tess's latest piece, At Your Fingertips, is about nail polish. It's about what's behind our whims and our fancies, about the history and the hidden forces behind even our smallest choices and observations. Hi, Tess. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Okay. So your piece in the NAS, which was published a couple of weeks ago, It's this condensed history of nail polish sandwiched in the middle of a personal anecdote of you seeing this woman and noticing her, I'll quote you, pearly white fingernails. Was there a specific reason why you decided to write about her nails and not like her bag or her hair or anything else?
I actually chose the topic of nail polish before I had the anecdote. The anecdote was a way for me to introduce it and to kind of bring it all together and make it personal. But I was really interested in the history of that particular type of cosmetic because I've always found it super interesting why it is that we decide to paint our nails certain colors and it's just very accepted and there's not a lot written on it, which kind of increased my curiosity, at least not a lot scholarly written on it. And I remember thinking about this question first. Well, maybe I didn't think about it first, but I definitely thought about it seeing this person because I remember being incredibly impressed by her and I knew nothing about her, but there she was and she had these beautiful fingernails and I just knew that she had it together from those. It was just those. And so, yeah, that's how I decided to introduce the piece.
Is that something you do? You like assess how well put together someone is based on their fingernails?
Sometimes. I mean, I feel like it's a little bit archaic. I think of those old books or movies where the strict teacher checks the hands or the cleanliness of the hands and the fingernails. I don't think I do it so much. Like, you know, I don't penalize people for not having perfect nail polish, but sometimes I find myself being hard on myself for not having put together nails. So it's one of the things I do. I try to have my nails done personally. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes you see someone or I see someone with their nails done and it's like, wow. Like, that's nice.
And so I'd like to ask, I mean, you said part of the reason why you were motivated to write this piece was that you were curious as to why people painted their nails. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of reasons that you touch on in the piece. One of them is that it's like evolutionary and that it's, and I think, so the term is runaway sexual selection that you like inquire about and you're like, maybe it's this, maybe it's not. Can you explain a bit more about that?
Yeah, for sure. Researching nail polish did kind of lead me down this rabbit hole of what it was to cosmeticize, which is like an anthropological question that people debate how far back it goes. It's definitely something I touch on. And I kind of start most broadly with natural ornamentation. And then I get more specifically into like the genus Homo ornamentation and then specifically Homo sapien ornamentation. But what I thought was really interesting was that it's very clear that there's natural ornamentation. That's like the quote from Darwin that I have. But when you get to deliberate ornamentation, so self-beautifying techniques, whether it be with jewelry or with various cosmetics or with body paint that many early cultures used, it becomes a question of whether it is used to attract sexual mates or whether it has more cultural meaning on top of that, or maybe in lieu of that. So just because someone has a beautiful necklace does not mean that they will necessarily perpetuate the species any better. And so anthropologists ask about that. They ask whether cosmetics are runaway sexual selection, are kind of in the tradition of Darwinian sexual selection, or whether they're their own thing.
So if they're their own thing, what might it be? What might they signify?
So I quote an essay by someone named Camilla Power, and she talks about cosmetics as being communal magic, basically, in a really interesting essay. And she talks about deliberate human ornamentation as human self-reflection, as being part of a community. So you know how you look and you know how you look to other people. And it's not just in terms of finding a mate or finding a sexual partner. It's also in terms of giving a signal that you are part of that community at all. And that was super interesting to me, especially in terms of the way I perceive that woman who is wearing that nail polish. I wasn't feeling attracted to her as a mate. I don't even know if that would make sense in context, but I like really looked at her and I was like, that is amazing. Like, that means that she's like this amazing specimen of human and part of like this human community.
Mm-hmm. And if it is this thing inherent to us and it's not quite sexual selection, mm-hmm. maybe it's something unique to humans, maybe mm-hmm. it's something that's not, it's not to help us find a mate, but it's to like show our belonging. Do mm-hmm. we see makeup being used or self-beautification techniques being used in cultures around the world?
Yeah, absolutely. So some of the elements that are seen in other communities are like some of the examples I give are lip plugging or neck elongation or foot binding are all very culturally specific ways of being beautiful that do kind of seem not to indicate any direct, you know, natural selective element. You know, just because someone has a long neck in a particular culture does not mean that they will perpetuate a species any better, but it does indicate them being part of community and being beautiful as part of that community that is considered beautiful.
And so where does painting your nails come in?
So nail polish or nail painting appeared in lots of different communities in the ancient world. In particular, one of my favorite examples was in China. Men and women in the upper class would grow their nails to like 10 inches long and ornament them with jewels and protect them in gold sheaths. And it was very much part of that culture, it's reported. But it seems to be that nails were, in a variety of different ways, the object of ornamentation that could indicate beauty in a whole variety of different ways.
There was something in your piece about nails being a symbol of longevity.
Yeah. So something that I learned as I was researching was that anthropologists speculate that nails, that people might have painted nails because it was believed that nails kept growing after you died. The reason people believe this was that when you die, your skin gets dehydrated, and so your nails can appear longer as the skin moves away from your cuticles. But it appeared as if nails were growing, so it had something to do with an afterlife. And so anthropologists think that perhaps ornamenting your nails could highlight this like piece of you that was immortal and that would keep going after you.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's also pretty gross. And so what distinguishes the modern form of nail polish from the ancient form? Like, how did we get to where we are now?
What distinguishes it is it's relatively uniform, at least in, you know, the developed world in terms of the commercial aspect and the type. So though various types of nail ornamentation cycle in and out of style, it's pretty uniform. So generally, right, people no longer have 9-inch nails. Generally, people don't, you know, mix their own nail polish out of, like, blood and stuff, which is something that they did used to do. So, yeah, now it's just very commercial and very affordable, which is something I talk about, meaning there are definitely fancier brands, but some are super affordable. And so it's very accessible to the population, to like all elements of the population. And how we got here, I'm actually really not sure. There's like not a lot written about it in between kind of the modern commercialization of it and the ancient world where there were all these different kinds of ornamentation. We do know that, you know, kind of what I was referencing before about like clean nails being a class sign, that you don't have to do manual labor, similar actually to how tan, being tan, was thought of. So if you were of an upper class in the United States and you were pale, that was like a sign of being upper class because you didn't have to work in the sun. Similarly, if you had clean nails, you didn't have to be doing work with your hands. So it is speculated that nail polish, the modern nail polish industry, kind of grew out of that.
So some of the aspects of nail polish today, its uniformity, its accessibility, do you think that's indicative of some sort of cultural trend or like value changes?
I think that it's actually similarly not questioned. I kind of talk about at the end of my piece how like cosmetics in general, but I actually found specifically with nail polish, there's not a lot of discussion, for example, of gender in relation. So there are relatively newly now men who paint their nails. But generally speaking, it is considered a female way of ornamentation. And so it I guess it hasn't really been questioned in terms of gender so much. It's been questioned on the ground, meaning like people say, okay, I'm going to paint my nails. But in terms of literature, it's not a generally cited example of a gendered element of society. And so I think that it is similarly kind of relegated to like anthropology that we don't talk about, which, yeah, I definitely get into at the end of the piece. But I think that we on purpose don't intellectualize it, which maybe I'm violating by like investigating in the way I am. And there is something fun about it. And, you know, I talk a little bit about going to a birthday party with my friends when I was in seventh grade and we got our nails done and it was like a treat and a big deal. And like there's something really fun about that. And I don't think it needs to be necessarily investigated. I don't think it's harmful in particular. But I think it's super interesting, which is why I decided to do it.
I'd like to come back to what you're just talking about, but mm-hmm. I do want to touch on a point that you brought mm-hmm. up before, and that was that now pretty much anyone can get their nails painted, right? Mm-hmm. But what are some ways that people can distinguish themselves? Like what drew mm-hmm. you to this woman when you saw her, and what drew you to her nails, and like why were her nails different from like yours or mine or someone else's? Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think there's a few ways that people can distinguish themselves from within painting their nails. One is that it's an element of fashion, right? So there's constant cycling of like what colors are in. Sometimes there's patterns that are like in style. Sometimes I remember there was like this one trend that you painted your ring fingers on both hands a different color from the rest of your nails. There's definitely trends that happen. And so like it could be that, yeah, I don't specifically remember, but maybe like it was like white was super in fashion that year and I'd like seen it in a magazine and then like had like incorporated that into my like subconscious and then like saw it on her and I was like, wow. So that's all, that's a possibility.
Yeah. Okay. That's really cool. Anyway, I want to talk a bit about the end of your piece mm-hmm. and you end it, I thought really beautifully with, this one quote here. I'm going to read it. Mm-hmm. I puzzle at why I remember that woman and the pearls at the tips of her fingers so well. I guess I somehow felt it, the symbolic organizing power of relative presentation. Her nails, those pearly white nodes of grace, were telling me something. Do you know what that something is, or do you think writing this piece has given you a better understanding of it?
I think so. I think reading that anthropology article was really helpful for me to understand why it was that she sticks out in my memory the way she does. And why there, I can think of like other examples of people I've seen who have their nails painted that have like stuck out to me and I remember their images so well. And I think it's because they in some way kind of represent this epitome of belonging, and belonging really well. They're, you know, really good specimens of a member of a human community. And I totally don't think I, like, could have articulated that without having, like, read it somewhere. At the time, I was just, like, really enthralled by her. I was just like, wow, like, she looks really nice. but I think the reason I thought that was just because, especially in comparison to where I was, I kind of talked about that at the beginning, like, my nails were not done, you know? They were, like, flaking off. So, you know, especially in comparison to that, I wanted to be just like her.
Yeah, and there's something about intellectualizing something, as you did in your piece, and then de-intellectualizing it later. So next time you see someone with great nails, you might not think, oh my God, like, they have such a sense of cultural belonging. Yeah.
But maybe, I mean, I hope I don't.
Yeah. But, I mean, your nails today, they look pretty good.
Thank you. I got them done yesterday. Coming back to campus, I, like, wanted to feel good, you know? And that's how I do it.
All right. Well, Tess, thanks so much for talking to me.
Thank you for having me.
This has been An Interview This Week. That was Tess Solomon. For WPRB News and Culture, I'm Oliver Wang.